My mother used to say to me, son, sing. And we'd sing together. Well, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Well, be careful, little tongue, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. It's a child song, but brother, it's theologically correct. The Father up above sees what you do. He hears what you say. He knows what you hear and knows what you read. He knows what you watch on television. I'm glad my mother taught me stuff like this instead of watching Secret Storm and Edge of Night and Doctors and Nurses. Of course, it's only fair to say she did listen to Stella Dallas and Dick and Sade and our own Law Perkins and things like that. But you don't hear much about it anymore. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. God knows what you watched on television this week. And God heard that dirty rock music you played on your record player. And God heard that gossip that you spoke. And God heard those evil words. And God saw you as you snuck down to that X-rated movie. And by the way, all movies are X-rated as far as I'm concerned. And God saw it. And God saw you put that Playboy magazine between the newspaper. And God saw you cast a look toward the dirty pictures. And God saw you how you were dressed this week, you young females. God saw you in your nakedness and nudity. God saw you in your lustful dress. God saw you as you cast your eyes and a lustful thought went through your mind, man. God saw you. There needs to be a revival of old-fashioned preaching. See is what you do. Prophet Amos said in chapter 9, verse 8, behold the eyes of the Lord, God, upon this sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, in the hand of Zerubbabel, with these seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And the wise man said in Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God not only knows what you do, God knows what you say, and God knows what you think. God knows your thoughts. God knows your wicked deeds. God knows your liquor that's hidden. God knows your cigarettes that are hidden. God heard the dirty stories you told last week. God sees what you do and knows where you go. The great preaching in the history of our country, for that matter, in the history of the Bible, the great preaching has been judgment preaching. You don't hear it much anymore. But men still have to die. You don't hear it much anymore. But men who die still have to face God. You don't hear it much anymore. But the Bible still says, it's appointed a man wants to die, and after death the judgment. You don't hear it much anymore. But the Bible still says, be sure your sin will find you out. You don't hear it much anymore. But the Bible still says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You don't hear it much anymore. But God's word keeps thundering out to eternity. Prepare to meet thy God. Hail the great preaching. Jonah came to Nineveh and cried the great preaching of judgment 40 days, and Nineveh should be destroyed. He proclaimed the coming wrath of God and judgment upon Nineveh. Amos was the great herdsman who preached, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. It was Noah who preached the coming judgment of God with the flood. It was Moses who said in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 32, be sure your sin will find you out. It was Ezekiel who was placed by God as a watchman on the wall to warn the people of their sins and to have the blood of the sinner dripping from his own hands if he failed to do so. The greatest, most famous sermon in the history of our country was the great sermon by the great Jonathan Edwards. What was it? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. The most famous generation, sermon of this generation is Dr. R.G. Lee's famous sermon, Payday Someday. And brother, like it or not, you've got to face God one of these days. Like it or not, payday is going to come. Like it or not, there's a God in heaven who sees what you see and knows what you hear and sees where you go. And he sees what your hands do. He sees what you take. He saw how much you put in the collection plate today. I do not know whether you robbed God or not, but the God whom you robbed knows whether you robbed him or not. God sees what you do. Brother, if we have a need tonight, if we have a need tonight, it's for preachers to preach the judgment of God. Yes, I know. I know we all preach God's love and mercy. Thank God for the love of God. Thank God he's long in mercy and long of suffering and gentle and patient. And yet, let us not forget that the Bible still says, then those not found written in the book of life were cast in the lake of fire. The Bible still says, and I saw a throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the books, and in the books of the book of life. And the Bible says that every man was judged out of the things written in the book of life. The Bible says we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things done in the body. There's not a single prophet in the Old Testament. There's not a single preacher in the New Testament. But while his message did not ring to the clarion call, get ready to meet God. You've got to die. You've got to face God. God's judgment is coming. Get right with God. Judgment's going to come. The fire's going to fall. Hell is imminent. Death is coming. Judgment for sure. All throughout the Bible, you'll find that line of preaching in from the lips of God's men. But there are two verses that stand out to me like pyramids on the Sahara concerning judgment. Those two verses are the ones that read in this place a while ago. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. But it is going to come from the stone in the wall, the brick, the block, the stone shall cry out, and the timber, the 2x4, the 2x12, the 1x4 shall cry out and answer the stone. There's another one. And he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I've made the statement for a long time that one day the stones would cry out at the great white throne judgment. However, in our generation, something's been discovered by the scientists that's alarming and alerting. Something amazing has happened. An instrument is being sophisticated today that will extract from solids conversation of the past. The vibrations are still there. You never And don't you forget this. You never speak a word that stops. Every word you've ever spoken is still out somewhere. And scientists tell us that they have machines now, almost perfected, where they can take a sound that was spoken years ago. Scare you? Well, it might. They can soon locate that sound, isolate that sound, and extract that sound from the solids that are present when you spoke it. Scientists tell us that it is in the realm of possibility that in your lifetime and mine, we can hear Moses speak. They can go to that desert where Moses was, about where the burning bush was, and by certain isolating of sounds, every stone is a tape recorder. Every piece of wood is a tape recorder. And they say it's entirely possible that in our lifetime, we can go back. Boy, wouldn't you love to hear Moses talk when he came back off the mount? Huh? Wouldn't you love to hear what he said when he said, when he came off the mount, mad because those rascals had built that golden calf, and Moses came back down and bowed that calf to powder and put it in the water and said, "Break it, you rascals, you." He said, "Hearken, you rebels." Wouldn't you love to hear him? You know, they say it's entirely possible to go to those trees over there in the Garden of Gethsemane under which our Lord prayed. And by the way, those very trees in Gethsemane's garden are over 2,000 years old. And we prayed under those same trees. They say in our lifetime it is entirely possible that they can go back to those trees and extract those sounds from our Lord's lovely voice out of those trees. And in our own lifetime, we'll hear Jesus pray, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but time be done." That's the day when we play that, we're going to have 200,000 in Sunday school. You mark it down, buddy. That's the day. Think about that for a minute. Think about it. Does that excite you? How would you like to have down your own machine at home a Sermon on the Mount by Jesus himself? Huh? How would you like to hear him? As he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." How would you like to? Boy, I'd like to hear that voice when he said, "Lord, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Boy, I'd like to hear that voice, wouldn't you? Play up some of my liberal friends just think he never, never said anything harsh. Jesus' voice may speak in this generation from the storms of Judea and the olive trees of Gethsemane. You can go to Jerusalem, go down underneath the basement of a certain place, and you can find the very stones on which Christ stood before Pilate. They're still there. You can see the markings. Scientists tell us the day could come in our generation where we could hear the trial of Jesus. Can you imagine it? Can you hear that fiendish voice of Pilate saying, "I wash my hands of it"? Can you hear the alarmed voice of his wife saying, "Pilate, sweetheart, I have nothing to do with this man. I had a dream last night about it." Can you hear it? Can you hear that cry? Can you imagine that hill of Golgotha where that skull is? I think the various stones formed the skull when our Lord was crucified, the place of the skull. Can you imagine going over there and turning on that tape recorder at Calvary and hearing our Lord say, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do"? Can you imagine it?
Oh, wouldn't it be a blessed thing if somehow we could hear the Apostle Paul as he preached on Mars Hill? Scientists say,
but wait a minute. I do not think I'm quite as happy as I thought I was.
For if they could extract the voice of Christ 2,000 years ago, they could extract your voice from solid toward you spoken in your lifetime. Oh my. Think of your gossip. Think of your wicked tongue.
Think of your filthy jokes. Think of the dirty things you said. Think of it. The day may come when your own kitchen sink not be a patriot corner held as evidence against you that you sinned against God Almighty. Oh, be careful. Little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful. Little tongue, what you say.
For the tree in your front yard is recording your voice. And the bricks on your dormitory or house are recording your voice. You say, impossible! Impossible!
Well, it's not any more impossible or fantastic than to drive down the highway somewhere in your car with one little box about that big sitting in there with a few tubes and so forth, and you turn that switch and you hear a fellow speak who's in Jerusalem or Rome or Moscow somewhere, and there's no string at all, there's no wire at all, and you can hear it. Brother, if man can cause the voice, if man can go back in history and find a phone, and that's why the Savior said, he said, if these folks won't testify against you in judgment, the very stones will cry out against you in judgment. An unsaved man stands before God at the great white throne judgment. His name is called, and if you're not saved tonight, your name will be called. He stands before God, and God opens the books, and God says, you had a filthy tongue, didn't you? And you say, no, Lord, no, I didn't have a filthy tongue. Show me anybody here ever heard me curse. And Gabriel brings up Exhibit A. Exhibit A may be the stove in your kitchen or the wood in your dinette suit. And all of a sudden, Exhibit A comes up, and you say, hush it! That's it! Shut it off! And it gets louder! Shut it! Louder! Shut it! Louder! Shut it off! Louder! Why?
You better be careful what you say. There's a second thought. More startling than that.
Don't miss it. Don't miss it.
Scientists say, and in such some of the leading magazines in America, I don't mean Midnight, I don't mean the Inquirer, I mean some of the leading magazines in America, like Reader's Digest and so forth, they say that there is now a proof that every thought
leaves its vibration trail somewhere. Oh, my soul. Every thought. What do you think? Leaves its vibration. You turn your little television set on. You can be on a picnic with a portable television set, no wires, no nothing, but a few batteries.
And a little television set that big, maybe, sitting on a picnic tomorrow, watching a ball game, maybe, that's going on in New York City or Los Angeles or Chicago. How?
Because everything that goes into space is a constant picture. And if you can find someone, reach out and grab it and put it in that little television set. And every word you say floats around and floats around. And if you can get the right things to reach out there and grab it, then you can make that thing play back. And brother, just as real as your voice is being recorded, oh my soul, your thoughts are being recorded. You sit there tonight with hatred in your heart against somebody in this world. Don't you be surprised, brother. One of these days when you stand before God, that hatred's going to be brought out your thoughts. Scientists say your thoughts leave vibration trails somewhere. You look at a woman and lust after her, and your mind and your thoughts are full of lust. It'll be brought out one of these days. You have jealousy or pride or hatred or envy or malice in your heart, your mind. You think it's secret, don't you? There's nothing secret. The very thoughts.
The wise man said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer.
Again, he said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Talk about Watergate tapes. Huh? You wait till God's Watergate tapes are played. You wait till every stone becomes a tape recorder. You wait till every stick in every house becomes a tape recorder. You wait till what you said at home is played. Now, you that are angels outside those four walls and devils on the inside. You wait! You wait! Till your bedroom suit becomes a tape recorder. And you wait till every thought you've ever had can be captured. You say, preacher, ridiculous! That's what my grandfather said if he had thought about television. Have you noticed these computers? I can walk right over here to Chicago. I can walk some little town, some little airport way down the boondocks and say, my name is Jack Hyde, and I'm on flight sort. They type my name right there on a machine, and within 10 seconds, another machine in New York City answers. You say, how does it do? I don't know how it does it. But I'll bind you one thing, brother. I am not surprised at all that scientists in our generation are finding out that thoughts will someday be recorded. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. You picked up the newspaper, didn't you? You looked at those nude pictures and half-dressed women, didn't you? And you lusted. You lusted. One of these days, Deacon Peabody. Now, we don't have a Deacon Peabody in this church. But Deacon Peabody, who's had such a radiant smile as he passed the collection plate. And he looked so handsome in the choir and so... And Sister Peabody, who's had such a lovely, sweet smile. Everybody says if there's a Christian in the world, it's Sister Peabody. You wait till God plays back what she thought from the choir. Or what she thought from the pew. Or the hatred that came. Or the malice. Or the revenge. Or vindication. Oh, get her in the voice, man. I just can't stand. No, you don't do it that way, do you? You go, I just can't stand her. Hate her. That sweet little hypocritical smile that covers up like a mask on Halloween night. Hatred, envy, malice, jealousy, revenge, vindication. God is recording your thoughts and my thoughts. You better say with David, let the words of my mouth and the vision of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh God, my strength and my redeemer. Judgment's coming. And you see it now, standing before God Almighty. Gabriel comes out, exhibit A. Some stones have some words to say. Your house, or your office maybe, where you profane the name of God and where you've taken unholy money and where you stole and nobody knows it. You stand before God and you'll say, not me, Lord, not me, Lord, not me. And the foundation of that building will say, I saw him. Listen. And the word you spoke played. And the timbers and beams will say, amen, I heard it too. And here it is. Frightening. But that isn't all. There's something more amazing than that. Has anybody here ever heard of a thermograph machine? A thermograph machine is a new invention that takes pictures according to objects. Not of objects. Because they found out that all objects give off infrared energy. They can find, for example, this picture, this thermograph machine, in a woman's breast, they can find the tumor the size of the head, the point on a pin or needle.
They can take this thermograph machine and put it in a building that's burned and find out where the fire started. Or they can take a picture of that wall and find out any flaw that's in that wall, the smallest little flaw in that wall.
But here's what I want to say. This thermograph machine can take pictures. Are you listening to me? This thermograph machine can take pictures of things that have already happened. They've pointed to an empty chair and taken a picture of the fellow who had already left that chair. Watch it. Watch it.
Watch it. And that man was gone.
But the infrared heat that his body left there, they've taken his picture after he left when the chair was empty. So carefully was the picture taken, they could even tell that his legs were crossed while he was sitting there. Huh? A bank robbery takes place. The robber flees.
They bring this thermograph machine, take a picture of the place where the robber stayed,
and get the picture of the robber.
A rape takes place. They go back to the scene of the rape and take a picture and find the face of the fellow
who raped the girl and find out whether he was enticed and really raped her or not. Don't you see God's not so dumb after all? Don't you see that one of these days, you'll stand before God
naked at the great judgment of the lost and the damned. You'll stand before God. God will pronounce you guilty.
You'll say, I wasn't so bad. And the Lord will say, Gabriel, bring that rock over here. Play it. Show the thoughts that he had.
Gabriel!
Go back over to a certain place and take a picture.
But you say, I've been gone from there for years.
I know, but you've left the infrared heat waves. Sort of startling, isn't it? Have to burn some bridges, wouldn't you? Huh?
Can you see it? Your name is called. You stand before God Almighty, and the books are open. But if you will not accept what is in those books, God will turn on your own voice and play what you said on heaven's tape recorder.
You say, you mean a stolen tape recorder? Yes, if God can take mud and make medicine out of it and make a fella blind to eyes to see, if God can speak, heaven's dank through the skies and God makes the whole universe, God can make a tape recorder out of a stone in your front yard. And God will. And God will. That means in our generation, scientific minds are already saying that the word that you said can be played back within our lifetime. And the thoughts that you've uttered, had, can be revealed during our lifetime. And if we want to say, God wants to find out whether you were in that tavern or not, God will just go down to where that tavern was, take a picture, find out you were there. God wants to find out whether some of you young people broke the rules at Hiles Anderson. We may just buy one of those machines at Hiles Anderson.
Be careful! Be careful! Watch it!
It's your own candid camera. Anything you wish you hadn't done? Any words you wish you hadn't said? Wait a minute. He's a picture. Boy, I wish I could get a hold of those stones. Break them. Wouldn't do any good. Preacher, I tell you what. I wish I could go back and erase my heat waves. We got a heat waves right now.
We're going to erase my heat waves so that when God comes back and takes a picture of where I was, he wouldn't find out what I did.
We have in our office a little machine called demagnetizer. No talking, young ladies. A demagnetizer. We'll take the tape that I've made dictated letters and put that little tape, that big it is, on the demagnetizer. And then it takes all of the things off the tape and go back and never hear it again. One day I went in Dr. John Rice's room. He and I were preaching together. He was in the bathroom. He had a piece of paper, tearing it in shreds like this. Just tearing it little bitty pieces like that. He put it in the commode and flushed it. I said, Dr. Rice, what's that paper you put in the commode? He said, Dr. Hines, when I confess my sins, I write them down on paper. And I ask God to forgive me so I won't forget any of them. I write them down. He said, after I get through praying, I tear it up in little bitty pieces and put it in the commode so nobody will ever see all the things I've done. I've been doing that myself. We have a little demagnetizer. You know what happens when a person comes to Christ? Huh? And get born again? Glory to God. You know what happens? Huh? Blessed be God. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, is God's demagnetizer. When a person gets on his knees and comes to Christ, God says, blood! Go to every old stone that's recorded a conversation and demagnetize the stone. Go to every place he's ever done anything wrong. Demagnetize it. One day, we'll stand before God Almighty. And the devil will say, I saw this. I saw it. In a tavern, not over in Calumet City. I saw it. The devil will say, this? Were you there? Old Fisk will say, Your Majesty. And the Lord Jesus will say, let's see. Go back to the tavern and take a picture of it. He takes a picture of it. It's all clear. It's all clear. And brother, the devil says, Sonny, old boy, did you own three taverns in heaven?
Yeah. These happened.
Because he still had them. He could use the profits for a college fund. We almost bought a bunch of acres out here in Griffith and for our college. And we almost, for our high school, almost bought it years and several years ago. And word got around we did buy it, but we didn't. The policeman came to my office and said, Reverend, you own certain land on the corner of certain streets and certain in Griffith? I said, no, sir. Yeah, he said, we understand you do. And I said, well, so what? He said, we found there's marijuana all over those lots, acre after acre of marijuana. We want to know if you're in the marijuana business. And I said, man, oh, man, I sure missed that one. We could have financed our cottage forever on the profits off that stuff.
Messiah, did you use some filthy language in those heavens? Did you curse God's name, the devil said? Did you use dirty, filthy language? Did you ever see something?
And the Messiah says, well, I got it. The Lord Jesus says, well, let's just see. Go get the brick off the tavern. Starts playing that brick. And the Messiah says, boy, I'm a goner now. I'm a goner now. And the devil says the tape recorder's not working. Something wrong with it. You know why? It's been demagnetized with the blood of Christ.
Amen.
We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Blessed be God. I feel better now, don't you? I felt bad a while ago. I was awful worried a while ago, weren't you? Huh? I know. I said, golly, one time when I was a kid, and I don't want that plate to judgment. But I fought worse than that at deacons' meetings. Boy, if that brick over there in that little chapel could cry out against me what I fought, good night, I'd spend all my eternity in hell.
Thank God!
It's all going to be magnified.
All of it. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Then my soul is free and in my heart so strong. There in the deeper sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally.
Praise God, my sins are gone. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go. Neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. And so if you come tonight to receive Christ as your Savior, tonight if you come and say, oh God, I know I'm a sinner and I know I've sinned against God and against a man, and I come tonight receiving Christ as my hope for heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ will take that blood that was shed 2,000 years ago on that little mound outside the northern wall of Jerusalem, and He'll take your sins and demagnetize every stone that was ever near you while you said something wrong. And demagnetize every infrared heat wave that would ever be thought taken in a thermograph machine. And take all the dirty thoughts you've ever said and
demagnetize them. Why?
Because of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And that's why you need to keep coming. Just as that blood forgave your sins and cleansed your sins when you came to Christ, even so when we sin tonight, that same blood keeps on cleansing us from all sin. And that means tonight, if you have unconfessed sin, you ought to get it beneath the blood tonight. Ask God to forgive you and make it right. And we stand before God. All of our sins charged to His record. Demagnetized with the blood of Christ. So I don't get in a word to worry too much about it. Because they're all beneath the blood. All beneath the blood. How about yours? How about yours? Any sins you want to confess tonight? Any words you said? You want to confess?
Thoughts? Envy? Malice? Hatred? Lust? Places you've gone? Things you've done? Things you've read? Things you've thought? Things you've said? Confess them.
Make it right with God. And then tonight, if you've never come beneath the cleansing wave of Calvary's blood, you come and receive Christ. The president of the Baptist World Alliance, several years ago, a fellow named Dahlberg, stood up and preached a sermon at the Baptist World Alliance meeting. He's a Baptist, by the way, by name.
He said, we need some new terms. He said, away with the old outdated terms such as the precious blood of Jesus.
It's precious to me, brother.
Amen.
It's my demagnetizer. My demagnetizer. I was down in Texas on the night of the men's meeting. A bunch of men had a meeting. Our song leader was sitting beside me, and he turned to me. We were singing a congregational song. He turned to me and said, preacher, he said, You make a lot of fun of your voice, and you cut up about it, but he said, you have a good voice. Really, you do. He said, preacher, you ought not to cut up about your voice. I said, oh, sure enough. You mean that? Sure, I mean that. You ought to. He said, on this next song, said, you sing real loud. I want to hear you sing. I want to hear that you've got a real rich tone in your voice. Of course, I know better. We got a dog home sing better than I can. Well, laugh at me. He can carry pretty good bass compared to some of you guys, too. It goes for the right section of the choir, too. So, I sang. I didn't know that tape recorder going. They taped me. They took that thing back to the services on Wednesday night and played that thing for the people. You've never heard so much laughter in your life. Mickey Mouse and Popeye together couldn't make as much laughter as him. My voice. I never dreamed it sounded like that. I tiptoed into that music director's office, on his office, and got in the drawer of his desk and got that tape and went to our demagnetizer. And put that thing on that machine, has a little pole sticking up like that, and I stuck that tape down on that thing, and pulled that thing around there, and put it on the machine, and I said, it won't play. When I stand before God, the devil's going to say,
Hiles, pretty stubborn, weren't you?
Of course not.
Thought you were always right, didn't you?
Nope, no, I was.
You ever want to kill fish?
And I want to say to the devil, go ahead, buddy. Just make all accusations you want to, because you have no evidence. The stones are demagnetized.
Stones will not cry out. The timbers will not answer. The heat of my body where I was has been taken away. Why? Why? Because the blood, Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all sin. That's right.
Same thing that happened to you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, this is sort of beyond anything we can comprehend. My soul. To think. Did not hear the words of Moses one day. The words of Jesus. But more than that, we might be able someday to see the heart burden of the broken heart. And the thoughts that went through Paul's mind when he said, I could wish myself a curse for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. We might someday be able to have the thoughts of Jesus recorded. We may hear his lovely voice saying, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. But, oh God, tonight, there are those here that have unconfessed sin. There are those here that know thee not in forgiveness. And they come to the demagnetizer, the blood of Christ, tonight for salvation. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Have you said anything you shouldn't have said? Have you seen anything you shouldn't have seen? Have you heard some things you shouldn't have heard? Have you thought some things you shouldn't have thought? I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, there's a strange, strange conviction settled in my soul tonight. Oh, I see now how the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. Brother Hiles, there's some things I ought to confess tonight. Ask God to forgive. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the building. You can drop your hands. I wonder who would say tonight, Brother Hiles, I'll confess I stand before God unconverted. I do not know that if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I've never taken time to receive Christ into my life. The demagnetizing blood of Calvary has never covered my sins and erased them. I do not know that I'd go to heaven if I died, but I wish I did. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Anywhere in the house, you don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did. Would you lift your hand? God bless you. I see you in the balcony. Who else? Joining the church won't demagnetize your sins. No, sir. Who else? Raise them up high. God bless you. I see you, sir. God bless you in the balcony. God bless you over here next to the aisle. God bless you. I see that little lady. Who else would say me too? Raise your hand. Raise it way up high. You don't know that you're saved, but you wish you did. You don't know that... You hear all over the house, I've been confirmed. That doesn't demagnetize sin. I've taken communion. That doesn't demagnetize sin. I've turned over a new leaf. That doesn't demagnetize sin. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Who else would say, preacher, I don't know that my sins are under the blood. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? Quickly, way up high. Way up high, quickly. Upstairs or down? Anybody else, quickly, way up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, little lady. God bless you. And God bless you, young lady. Who else would say, include me when you pray? I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I don't know that my sins are beneath the blood, but I wish I did. Would you lift your hand, please? Quickly. Who else? Upstairs or down? Okay. Heavenly Father, I pray that a sense of conviction shall settle in this room tonight. That all the people that need to make it right will do so. And all these that need to come to Christ will do so. Our heads are bowed. If you manage the choir, it's going to sing. They're going to sing the old song, "There's a great day coming, there's a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come?" And as they sing it, I want you that raised your hands and said you do not know that you're saved, that your sins have been washed in the blood. I want you to leave your seat wherever you're sitting. The nearest aisle, I want you to come down the aisle to the front. We have experts that can take the Word of God and show you how to go to heaven when you die. You come. Already the devil's trying to talk you out of it. Send him back to hell and do business with God tonight. You need to kneel at the old-fashioned altar and confess some sin, you do that. God's spoken to your heart about receiving Christ. We have men waiting for you. Experts can take their Bibles and show you the way to heaven. You come. If you need to get baptized, you come. If you want to join the church, you come. Just do whatever God's Spirit says do tonight. Father, bless the invitation. May the blood of Christ demagnetize the sins of men, women, boys, and girls. By faith, they put in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand the choir?